Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Mary was a young woman. No age is given for her in this story, although the translation of the word virgin from Greek has come to be understood as a young woman, or a woman who is yet to have a child. Not necessarily how we might perceive the word virgin in our common vernacular these days. And she was promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, which was a common practice of that day and culture. Arranged marriages were built and contracted on certain parameters and conditions, and exchanges of money, land, and security. Did she love him? Maybe. Did marrying him give Mary certain securities that she didn't have already in that moment? Probably. And did it matter? Does it matter? Yes, absolutely. It needed to be Joseph and his lineage, because being from the house of David is important to the biblical narrative of Christ. But what about Mary? Why did Mary find favor with God? The truth is, we don't know. That's a mystery that we will never, ever have an answer to. But the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and gives her this message that he's been charged to deliver. "You, favored one, do not be afraid." Now, here's something that's interesting. Whenever those words show up in the Bible, that "don't be afraid" bit, you know life is about to change significantly for the person who's hearing these words. And it's actually a really neat way of drawing our ears to listen even more intensely. Like, what is it? What am I not supposed to be afraid of? Tell me more. You've got my attention. And for Mary, this was indeed life-changing, and to some degree life-threatening, but more important, life-giving. Just think about it for the moment.
You're going to have a son, and that's good news because it means that the house of David will continue, and Joseph's bloodline will be a part of that if you overlook science and DNA. But it'll be raised a part of the house of David, and that's what really matters. You will call him Jesus. Now, may not be your first choice of a name for a young man, and Joseph may have an idea or two, but you have to name him Jesus. And he's going to be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And the angel says he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, Mary might look at this angel and go, "What kingdom are you talking about? Take a look around, angel. This is not kingdom territory." And it wasn't. It wasn't. But then things begin to sink in for Mary. And then things begin to add up in little columns for Mary. All these things that the angel is saying to her begins to settle in, and she goes, "This is quite out of the ordinary. This angel is speaking like these things are about to happen and happen soon," but Mary knows that her wedding is still a ways off. So Mary says, "How can this be since I am still a virgin? How can this be since I am still a young woman?" And that's a good question, Mary, and one that we all probably would have asked if we were sitting there hearing this from an angel. And the angel then responds with the second part of the message he is charged by God to give. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Let that stew for a moment, Mary. Right. Now here's something that's pretty radical. This is all happening outside of marriage. She will be a pregnant bride. And nowhere in Gabriel's message do we hear anything about shame or shunning or cultural norms being upheld. We see a young woman who's been chosen by God to lead the resistance, and the seed of that change is planted inside of her, setting the trail on fire that her son, God's son, will ultimately take on the mantle of. Everything you think you know and everything you think you understand is about to be blown away through this one subtle act of civil disobedience, enacted with the willing and consenting servant who is willing to give up her body to bear a son who will ultimately offer up his own body to bear the sins of the world. Things have got to change, and Mary knew this. And God invited her to be a part of that change in a real grassroots way through love and compassion and daring and observing, and ultimately in parenting a son who was born to save the world. Mary is, in all honesty, a leader of the counter movement, a peaceful warrior, a voice adding her words and cries to the chorus, calling out and naming the brokenness in our world, and partnering with God to usher in a love that passes all our understanding in the form of a child, a sweet, sweet baby, the innocent lamb, Jesus. And this is risky business. Mary knows, but she's bought in, and she has responded with yes. Risks must be taken, and trust must be offered. Hope must be found in the unlikeliest places, and relationships are going to have to lean on one another to usher in the kind of change that God knew the world needed through God's only Son, Jesus. the old ways and the old standards, the old customs and norms. They were too limiting for a gift this amazing. So it was time to challenge the patriarchal system of rulers, kings, and centurions, slaves, unfair taxes, and an unfair tax system, outcasts and unclean people. Take on the system of rank and file. Bend the ears of the Pharisees and the scribes and the political leaders. Work outside the bounds of normal, because normal ain't normal anymore. Become excellent at challenging the system with brains and heart, and begin to delight in the creative means that our God uses to make a way when we don't see one into a world that is still amazing and still perfect and still beautiful. The angel Gabriel comes to deliver this message. Your relative, Elizabeth, even in her old age, has already conceived a son, even though she was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. God looks at these two women and invites them into the resistance, partners with them to bring about the change that this world desperately needs, and seeks their consent, and then puts them in touch with people who can support them. And then he knits a pink cap and put it on their heads and said, "Be gone, march on, watch out, world, the change is on the way. Blessed by God, chosen by God, empowered by God, breaking rules as they go, shaking up norms and expectations, choosing to accept the invitation, and helping to bring about a love that knows no limits, no labels. No need too great, no desire too small, no hesitation in offering, and no judgment in giving. Jesus, with him, the resistance is strong." And let's be really clear about this. You have email? Let's be really clear about this. It is no mistake that God partnered with a woman, and a poor woman at that. And a woman who has no status to speak of, no pedigree to peddle, no bargaining chip, a poor, dark-skinned woman who knew the dangers but said yes anyway, who knew the cost but said yes anyway, who knew the pain of oppression and said yes anyway, who carried a hope so deep within her soul that the only response she could make to help birth this love into the world was yes. A poor, dark-skinned young woman uttered her yes, and the world began to change. This is not a mistake, but designed by God. For God dwells where hope lives, and God dwells in the hope of breaking the chains of oppressive systems like the one Mary was living in. Mary said, "Yes, let it be with me according to your word. I am ready, Lord, for the revolution." And as Gabriel has said, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's the whole undercurrent of the season of Advent, of watching and waiting and hoping and preparing. We will strip all the trappings of this world away, and we can hear the chant rising up from the voices of women and men who have been fighting the powers that be, the systems in place, and the tendrils of racism, classism, oppression, misogyny, and otherism, and all these ways that the world and the policies created by humans have systematically drawn circles around people who have and those who have not. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Nothing will be impossible with God. And here's the most amazing understanding in this whole collection of resistance. It was born out of love. From the beginning of time until today, God continues to love us even when we think we are just too far gone, or too messed up, or too broken, or too humble, or too lowly, or too poor. God sends God's messenger to tell us, do not be afraid. I'm with you. in all of this. We continue to resist and we continue to hold authorities accountable for the actions or the lack of actions, and we continue to call out oppression and injustice, and we continue to stand for those who can't speak, and we continue to stand for those who can't and speak for those without a voice. And we remember our baptism, and we remember that God loves us wholly and completely and without any hesitation. Now, my brothers and sisters, get up and march on. He is coming, Emmanuel, among us, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. Amen.